Hello. We are honored and blessed tonight to have Brother Phil Messersmith and his family with us. And Pastor Phil was a pastor of Friendship Baptist, was there for 3.5 years. And the Lord has led he and his family to another ministry on the west side of the state near Grand Rapids. You may hear a little bit about that as he'll share that with us. But we are honored and we are blessed anytime God allows men of God to cross our paths. And we met him just a few years ago when he had first taken the church over there, and since that time, and become pretty good friends, and was able to share a nice meal with he and Brother Stephen one day and just talk and hear his heart. And he truly has a heart for God. He truly has a heart for winning the lost to Christ. And I've asked him to come and preach for us. It was one of those things. I talked to him Sunday night. He and his wife and family are in a little bit of a transition period right now over the next several months. And so they were here Sunday night, Brother Phil and his family, and I asked him to preach for me. Then I sent him a text yesterday. He said, well, actually, I'm going to be in town, so, you know, I'll catch you again. And then, make a long story short, he's like a good preacher should be. He's always ready to preach. And so, Brother Phil, you come ahead, my brother. Pulpit's yours, and we'll give him a taste at the end.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen. Hallelujah. Can y'all see me? I can't see you. I'm not used to this kind of light, and I like it. If it looks like there's an aura about me, just think it's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's an honor and a privilege to be behind the pulpit tonight, and it's different. It's odd. I've been the pastor at Friendship for 3.5 years, and we resigned last week. And so Sunday we came here and to another church, Highland Hills Baptist Church, in the morning. We came here in the evening, and it was odd and peculiar not to preach on a Sunday. It was just different. And but I thank the church for just being friends to us and being friends to Friendship Baptist Church, being friendly and like Christians should. Y'all helped Friendship a few years ago while they were in the transition. I ask that you pray for them. Good people, good church. It's just God's moving us from one ministry to another, and He used Scripture and worked on my heart for a couple months to get me to the place where I understood what He wanted. And that's a wonderful thing when He does that. It was hard to leave. We were heartbroken, and is an exciting on one hand, but hard and sad on the other. And so you pray for them, if you would. And we talked to Pastor Harold just a little bit on Sunday. Said, preacher, we need a place to camp out just until God gets us the rest of the way where we're going. And so you'll see our faces around here a little bit more in the next few months. So pray for us, if you would, also. And during the announcements, Pastor Harold had mentioned on Sunday, he said, hey, I'm going to be out of town. Are you going to be here Wednesday? And I said, yes, sir. And he said, well, preach for me. I said, all right, amen. And then he texted me yesterday. He said, well, I'm in town. And I said, he said, I'll be preaching tomorrow night, and we'll get you another time. And I said, amen, hallelujah. You know, just do what you got to do. And I said, I pray that everything is okay and not bad, but no details came back, and I didn't expect it to. No. And I heard Miss Angie went home, and I said, oh, no. And so I'm glad that there was some clarification on that. And, you know, we're a stingy people, ain't we? I mean, we ought to have been like, hallelujah. But we say, oh, no. That poor lady. Hey, if we go home. I was looking for a song in the songbook. I don't remember the name of it, but it's if we would really be. I mean, I say we're stingy in the essence of, or in the way that we don't want people to die and go to heaven. We don't want them to go and be with the Lord. We want them here for us, kind of like Hezekiah. You know, he was up looking in the wall, crying and saying, "Lord, just give me more time. Hey, if I'm going to go home to be with the Lord, you let me go." Amen. Oh, see, that's what I'm talking about. Nobody wants to go. We're content in this world. We should be singing. How does that song go? Now I'm forgetting the words. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. If heaven's not my home, dear Lord, what will I do? I mean, we don't sing that, though. We sing, oh, Lord, if you can give me another day, I would be really happy. We don't say that we want to go to heaven. That's not our heart, so. I heard Miss Angie went home. I said, oh, no. And we ought to be saying, hey, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. Amen? Oh, amen? Y'all can say amen. It's in the book. Amen. All right. Well, y'all pray for me, and I'll get into this. Preacher, what time do I need to be done by? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The first Christmas I was at Friendship was on a Sunday morning. And I love waking up on Christmas morning, and we wake up and we have French toast, and then we open presents and just have a good time as a family. And Christmas was on Sunday. And I said, church, I said, y'all want to move it back to Saturday to where you can open? And I was trying to make it, you know, like I was acting for them, to where you can open presents and be with family. And one of the ladies said, hey, it's the Lord's birthday. Let's have it in his house. And I said, amen. So they were expecting a couple songs and maybe a 15-minute sermonette, and I preached for 55 minutes on Christmas morning. It was wonderful. I said, if I got to work on Christmas, you're going to enjoy it. Amen. So when you say tomorrow, that's music to my ears, preacher. All right. see, amen. All right, Romans chapter number 7, if you would. Romans chapter number 7. And I wasn't expecting on preaching tonight, but I never eat before I preach. And tonight I was thinking, well, I'm not preaching, so I'm going to eat. I had me a huge bowl of ice cream with caramel and peanuts, and it usually doesn't settle well with me. That's why I don't eat before I preach. So y'all pray for me. If you hear some unsettling sounds, just press on with it, and we'll get through it. Amen. All right, Romans chapters number 7. We'll start. Do y'all normally stand or sit, or does it matter? Stand. Let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Verse number 1, chapter number 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. Lord God, I pray that you'd bless the preaching of your word. Lord, hide me behind the shadow of the cross. And Lord, you knew what was going to happen tonight more than any of us did. And I pray, Lord God, that you'd use this dirty, unclean vessel, Lord God, that's not worth anything. But Lord, in the potter's hands, Lord, you can do mighty works. I pray that you'd be with the ones in the pews. Help them as only you can. Lord, be with me as I preach your word. In Jesus' name I pray thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It amazes me today that people still think, I mean, we have the Word of God. Amen. This is the Word of God, what He would have for us to do. And the Bible says to study to show thyself approved, a workman unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God. If you study the Word of God, you'll see, if I just read and if I just study the pastoral epistles or just the epistles, I'm going to think all is grace and nothing but grace. If I study the Old Testament, I'm going to think all is law and nothing but law. If I study some certain portions of Scripture, I'm going to think everything is love and you don't need anything else. But God is love, and that's true. God is gracious, and that's true. God is merciful, and that's true. But it's amazing to me that people still believe today, with the Word of God, the complete revelation to man, that you have to work in order to be saved, or work in order to earn your way to glory. It amazes me. Jesus said it on the cross. He said, it is finished. It's the final work. It's done. It's done. It's done. Now, the Bible also says, and people use that too far. They say, well, we don't have to work, therefore we can just go on like we were going. But the Bible also says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. And what I was saying about that song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. We're content, we're happy being in this world, and we really shouldn't be. But we're so full of sin and filth and nastiness The Bible says all our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. That's grave clothes, that's leper's garments, that's stuff that you wouldn't want to touch, and that's our goodness. But Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. He paid our sin debt. He took care of all of that to where we wouldn't have to worry about it, but He still wants us to do something for Him while we're down here. Amen? And you don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a deacon. You don't have to be a Sunday school teacher. What you have to be is faithful unto God. Amen. You have to be faithful unto God. We have to remember where we're going. We have to remember that we're here with a purpose. We have to remember and set our affection on things above and not on things of this world. I look around and I do carpentry on the side, and now I guess it's full time. But I do work for some high level people as far as their wealth in the state of Michigan. And you look at the things that they have, and you look at the things that even we want, even if you can't afford it. Like, I'm still praying that Brother Jim gets right with the Lord and gets me that car one of these days. Amen. I mean, hey, Brother Jim, you just pray and pray and pray until you hear from God. But, you know, we covet after those things, and we think, man, if I just had a bigger house, or man, I like how that is. I like that car, I like that boat, or I like that truck, or I like that set of golf clubs. Or we get in our minds that that's what really matters in this world, and it's not. Not that there's anything wrong with a car or a truck or a boat or anything like that. There's nothing wrong with those things. But when we want those more than we want the will of God in our lives, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And you look at the church today, the church is in trouble. I'm not saying Emmanuel Baptist. I'm not saying Friendship Baptist. I'm saying the church in general, the body of Christ, we're in trouble because we've allowed things to come into our lives to stop us from serving God. And all that's getting back to this chapter here is there's people that think that you have to work in order to be to earn your way to glory or to earn your relationship with Christ. And Christ, He said, I fulfilled that. It's done, it's done, it's done. But that doesn't mean that we can just keep on going like we used to be. I say it a lot in preaching that I'm not what I ought to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. There's a point of in our lives where once we get saved, we should not be at that level plane for the rest of our Christian life. We should be growing every day. Paul said, I have need to feed you with meat, but I can't because you're babes and I have to feed you with milk. And that's a bad place to be as a Christian. It took me years, and I'll be honest with you tonight, it took me years to get past milk in my Christian life. Even as a young preacher, and I'm not a Bible scholar, that's not what I'm saying, but it took me years to finally figure out that God wants more than religion in my life. He wants a relationship. And with that relationship comes growth and comes more of a closeness with my Savior. Amen. And it's a wonderful thing, but it took me years because I went through the motions of religion. I went through the motions of Baptist religion. I went through the motions of tradition. Sunday morning, I'm there. Sunday night, I'm there. Wednesday night, I'm there. Thursday night, visitation, I'm there. Saturday, if there's something going on, if the doors are open, I'm at church. If the pastor says it, I did it. I had religion from this side of my bald head to that side, from the top of my bald head to the bottom of my feet. I had religion all over the place and very little relationship with Christ. I mean, I was saved. I accepted the gift that my Savior had given me. I mean, He saved me. I was saved, but my relationship was not building past that. So in this chapter, you have people. Paul's talking to the brethren. He said in verse number 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. He's not talking to ones from the outside. He's talking to ones that know the law. And here he says in verse number 4, he says, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. The Bible talks about the death of a testator. Jesus Christ died on the cross. That was the end of the Old Testament and a New Testament coming. And that's where we're at now. We're under grace. Praise God for grace. Amen. So what do we do now? If we're not under the law, but we're under grace, what do we do in our Christian life? Do we see what some religions, they teach that you have to work. They teach that you have to do things in your life to be right with God. And that's why you see people out on bicycles with black pants and white shirts and a black tie knocking on doors, and you never see any Baptists. Because they get taught, if you don't, you don't go to heaven. And we teach, hey, you're under grace, and we are. And that's all that matters. And it does. And so we get comfortable where we're at. We get content where we're at. We are able to go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and go back to our lives and live in an ungodly way that he would not be pleased with. It was good to hear Brother Brian talking about his co-workers and people coming to him, or him even going to them and talking about Christ and sharing over the telephone. It takes a lot for somebody, one of your co-workers, to come to you and say, hey, would you pray for my family, because they watch you. That's a great testimony. And that's how we ought to be. And it may not happen every day, but they ought to see something. I worked with a fellow down in North Carolina. He was an assistant pastor at some prayer church. And he was the parts manager, and I was in the mechanic shop, and every mechanic hated him because he claimed the name of Christ, but he didn't live like a Christian should. And they got him so mad one time, he cussed God's name. And that, it shouldn't be in us to cuss God's name. It shouldn't be in us to cuss. If we're working on the job and we hit our thumb with a hammer, not a cuss word should even think about coming out. It shouldn't be in there. Down in North Carolina, my pastor said, if it ain't in the well, or if it's in the well, it's going to come out in the bucket. If it ain't in the well, it ain't going to come out in the bucket. You don't think those things. You don't hear those things. You don't be around those things. We have to change our lifestyle. How do we change our lifestyle to better please the Lord? We have to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Christians, we're used to walking in the flesh. We're used to walking the way that the world walks. The world walks so far away from God, it's sickening. It's sad. You see our president, he's over there bowing. Sorry, preacher, I don't want to get political. I won't do that. He's bowing to a man that says, cut their heads off. And there's Jews, the Nazi camp that... It starts with an A. I can't remember the name. I won't even try it. The Jew death camp that the Nazis had was the 70th anniversary, and they didn't go to that. And the, oh my goodness, the Bible says God told Abram in chapter 12 of Genesis, right? He said, whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. Christians in America, when America takes their hand of protection and friendship off of Israel, You better write it down. Judgments are coming.
That's right, brother.
Judgments are coming. God is not dead. He's not slack concerning any of his promises. And when we walk away from his chosen people, and you know what? He's not done with Israel. He's not done with Israel. We're in a mess. And we see our world and our country walking in a certain direction. And we start following that direction. We start going that way. And we forget that God's way over here. And he wants the Christians to be a peculiar people, a different people, far away from that. And we don't, because our mind isn't changed. And our mind is just like the world. And we don't see any difference. We don't see any problem in walking with the world and talking like the world and acting like the world. Everything we do is just okay, because that's what everybody does. And God said, I don't want you to do that. So here we have people Paul's talking to, and he's talking about the law. But the law isn't going to get us any closer to God, because the law, look in verse number 10 of chapter 7. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. So the law that was supposed to be good and for us, Paul said, I found it to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy and just and good. There's nothing wrong with the law. Right here, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. God gave us a law not to work our way up to heaven, not to get closer to Him. He gave us a law to be our schoolmaster, to show us that we are wicked and undone. And to help us to understand and see ourselves for what we are. Have you ever talked to a drunk that was in a mess? I don't know what's wrong with my home. And I guess as a pastor, as a preacher, you might hear it more than just a layman in the church. But maybe not. Maybe you've seen your family members and they don't know what's going on, but they're drunk and or into drugs or doing something that they ought not. And you tell them, hey, just get away from the mess and it'll help you out. And you try telling them and they don't listen. They don't see what they really are. And sometimes they get to the spot where you say, hey, if you get rid of the alcohol, if you get rid of the drugs, if you get rid of that lifestyle, you can turn this thing around. And finally they get to that spot where they do see themselves for what they are and they do turn around and it'll help them as much as possible without the Lord Jesus Christ. But here the law is given to where we can see what we really are. As a pastor, I've talked to people and some would see themselves in that condition, get up and turn around and get away from it. Some would say, hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Well, you will see something wrong with it when you crash into somebody head on and they die and you don't because you don't even know what's happening. You will see something wrong with it when your family splits to pieces because you come home drunk every night or because you spent your paycheck on drugs instead of taking care of your family. You will see something. And that's what the law is to show us, that there's nothing good inside of us. We cannot work our way to heaven. We can't get closer to God by doing the law because the law is spiritual and we are carnal. So he said, that which was good, was that then... Verse number 13, was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin that it might become, might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Let's skip down some. Verse number 18. Let's not skip. Verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. See, Christians, we painted a picture in front of us and we kind of grayed everything out to where sin isn't sin anymore. There is no right, there is no wrong, there is no absolute. I was watching Kent Hovind one time and he was talking to a professor and the professor said, and if you don't know who Kent Hovind is, he's an apologetist about creation and evolution. He was talking to a college professor and the college professor said, there are no absolutes in this world. He said, are you absolutely sure about that? There are absolutes in this world. There is an absolute. A absolute is, it's the word of God. So we see this word of God, it says that we are sinners. It says that we are exceeding sinful. It says that our righteousness is, plural, everything, all the good that we have is horrible. And so we see ourselves as, okay, man, I'm a good person. I know some good people in this world. I do. I know some good people, but the best person I know falls way short of what Jesus Christ would have us to be. And when we compare ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ and to His Word, we find out that we fall way short. Now, if you look at somebody in the church and you say, well, brother so-and-so, he does this, so I still feel okay, then you're measuring yourself to the wrong mark. If I want to run the 40-yard dash and I want to feel good about myself, I have to find somebody with a cane because I can't run anymore. So I have to find somebody that's slower than me. And it doesn't take much to be slower than me anymore. But I have to find somebody at a lower mark if I want to feel good about myself. Now, back in the day, it was a whole different story. But not anymore. Back in high school, it was 40-yard dash in 4.4 seconds. Now it would be about 4.4 minutes. A whole different story. So if I want to feel good about myself, I find somebody that's slower than me or somebody that does it not as good as me. And now in the Christian world, in our Christian life, in our Christian walk, We find somebody that's less spiritual than us, and as long as we're above them, then we feel okay. And God doesn't want us to do that. And we have to remember in our minds that we are a mess. We need Christ daily. Every minute of every hour of every day. I mean, we need Christ. That's why the Bible says, I die daily. I die daily. Because Paul here, he said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. I find that in me there is no good thing. But we as Christians, and I'm not saying, hey, just go around kicking yourself. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying understand that you are a sinner saved by the grace of God if you are saved. Hallelujah, amen. But understand that you have a Savior that wants a relationship with you. And unless you are trying to live the way that He would have you to live, you're not going to have power in your life to tell others about Him. You're not going to see that you're so far away from Him that it's scary if you don't realize what to look for. If you're not getting into the Word of God, into His Word to see what He would have for you to be and what He would have for you to do, sadly to say, most Christians, and I'd say 99%, and that's a big gamble, and I may be wrong, but right off the top of my head, I'd say 99% of Christians, saved folk, professing Christ as their Savior, have never read the Bible through. And I may be wrong. I'm not far off. Because you talk to Christians about the football game, they know everything about the football teams. About Inflate-a-Gate and Spy-gate and this gate and that gate, but they don't know anything about the Eastern Gate. You see, we have things going on in our lives that we've put our affection on things below instead of things above. We've forgotten that we are pilgrims passing through. We've forgotten that we are a peculiar people. And we don't want to be peculiar because peculiar people get laughed at. Peculiar people overseas right now, coming to a country near you, though, get their heads lopped off. It won't be long, Christian. You know, they're making it illegal or against city ordinances, which would be illegal, I guess, right around here, that you can't go knock on doors and tell people about Christ. What, are you still going to do it? What if they come and say, hey, you can't preach this way in the church anymore or we'll shut you down? Are you going to start home churches or just say, well, we won't preach that way anymore? Right? Hey, I'll go to prison before I stop doing what the Bible tells me to do. My pastor down south said, Brother Phil, you got a hard head. I said, I know, preacher. Only when I'm right, though. Only when I'm right. Amen? And I always think I'm right, so I always got a hard head. What time did you say, preacher? 20 after, okay, whew, I thought I went over. All right. So, we have to understand, we have to realize, as a Christian, that we have something bigger and better in this life than a pension. We have something bigger and better in this life than a baseball team, a football team, a hockey team. We have something bigger and better. David said, is there not a cause? There's a cause for us to live godly in Christ Jesus. There's a cause for us to live and walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. When we walk after the flesh, we won't even realize that we're walking with the world. But the things of the world are at enmity with God. They really are. When we walk after the flesh, we cannot please God. When we walk after the Spirit, that's when we please God. When we please God, we have power in our lives. Remember Samson. When he told the secret of how he had his strength, he wist not that God removed himself from him. He didn't understand. And that was a different time. As the Lord worked in different ways. The Holy Spirit he'll never leave us nor forsake us now. But he didn't understand that the Holy Spirit had left him. He got up and just, hey, I'm going to do what I always did, and it's going to be just like it always happened. I'm going to come out on the winning side. And it wasn't that way, because the Holy Spirit pulled away from him. Remember when Jesus went into his own town, he said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own home. And he could not do many mighty works there because of that, because of their unbelief. So when we do things in our lives and the Holy Spirit, it offends him. I remember I have a great instance in my own life where I was starting another job down in Georgia, and it was a whole different economy down there, and we young married couple, and had to provide for my wife and my child, and I'm thinking, what can I do? That's number one bad decision. What can I do instead of, Lord, what should I do? Or, Lord, what do you have prepared for me? Or, Lord, what road do you have me to take? I started thinking, what am I going to do? So I went and I got this job, and I was going to start it. It ended up not working out. But I got this job, and I told my friend, and he said, well, what about, and I was a very young Christian, very young. He said, well, what about being a man of God? And I already surrendered to preach. And I said, well, maybe I don't want to be a man of God anymore. I don't even know where that come from. He just attacked me, so I attacked back, and I hurt him a little bit. He hurt me a little bit, but I promise you, I felt the Holy Spirit pull away from me because it offended the Holy Spirit of God, me saying that. The Holy Spirit is a sensitive being, and it's God. The Holy Spirit is God. I offended the Lord God, saying I didn't want what he had for me in my life. We go through this life and we forget that we are a peculiar people, that God has a plan for us. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a song leader, a Sunday school teacher. If you are saved by his grace, he has somebody for you to talk to. He has something for you to do. And when you walk after the flesh, you're not going to care about the things of the Spirit. You're not going to care about, Lord, what would you have me to do? You won't care about it. I told Pastor Harold on Sunday night, I said, Preacher, I said I wanted to make sure it was okay with you that we camp out here and for a little while and just stay a couple months and we won't cause any problems, I promise, and to the best of my ability. Now, my wife and my kids, that's a whole nother story, but Preacher, I'm here for you, man. So he said, that's not a problem. And I said, we won't join because it's going to be so short and we don't want to do that. I said, but Preacher, and I don't know if he heard this or, you know, it's kind of noisy and everything, but I said, use us like we're members. You need us, use us. I'm here, use me. You need the carpet vacuumed, give me the vacuum and show me the outlet. You need the toilets cleaned. Hey, be used at the house of God, and that'll get you ready for other things. That'll get you excited for other things. Be here. Get your mind on the things of Christ and off of the things of the world. How many of you were excited about coming to the house of God tonight? I mean excited, like I cannot wait until I get to church tonight. Maybe some, maybe a few, but I'd, without raising hands, don't raise your hand, but I'd say that the majority are tired from working all week. The majority are tired from the darts and the fiery darts of the devil. The majority is tired from the life that we're living in. We think that it's all right. We think that this is the norm. We think that this is how it should be, but God said if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, and the lust of your flesh, the devil and his antics, the devil and his darts don't want you to come here tonight. They don't want you to be excited about coming to the house of God. They don't want you to be excited about prayer. They don't want you to be excited about singing the praises unto God. They don't want, the devil doesn't want it. Your flesh doesn't want it. And if you would be honest with yourself and think to yourself, was I excited about coming here tonight? The majority, I would say, would have to say no. We're coming out of duty. And now duty, if you're gonna be discouraged, you come anyhow. You come anyhow until it's back to where it ought to be. You don't give up. I don't know how y'all feel about Facebook, but I like Facebook and it helps me stay in contact with people. And I seen at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, there are some soldiers out there with the storm coming through just recently, all the snow, they didn't blink an eye. They were out there. They were out there, and that post said something like, they didn't leave their post, don't you leave your post. What is it going to take for you to leave your post because there's a little storm in your life? And it may be a big storm, but those men never leave their post. And that battle's over. That's a Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. I mean, that one in that tomb is already gone on. But there's something about the honor of that post. Standing guard at that post. You stay where you're planted until God tells you to go somewhere else. You do what you're supposed to do until God tells you to do something else. You don't get discouraged. You don't give up. You don't quit. You don't give in. No matter if the preacher hurt your feelings, no matter if you weren't able to sing the special, no matter if the Sunday school teacher said something, you stay where you're planted until God tells you to move. You say, "Preacher, you're all over the place tonight." It all gets back to us feeding our flesh. If I feed my flesh more than I feed my spirit man, if I feed the old man more than I feed the spirit man, and I come in and I sit down and the preacher talks about something, and I think, man, he's aiming right at me. We forget that God is giving the man of God the message for the hour. And the message for the hour may be to you. I used to think, man, the preacher's opening my mail and resealing it or something. I don't know what's going on, but he knows something. Hey, God works through his man. God works through his man, but don't get discouraged because of something he said. You know, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. And you say, well, that's easy for you to say. You were a pastor. It doesn't matter about that. It says, obey them that have rule over you because they watch for your souls. When the pastor tells, and this is all getting back to our flesh. When the pastor says, hey, you're, brother, sister, I see that your kids are dressing in a manner that isn't godly. It's going to get them in trouble. And you say, don't you tell me how to raise my kids. And I'm not trying to pastor. I don't mean to. This is where our flesh takes us. Don't you tell me how to raise my kids. And then one day your child comes home and says, Daddy, Mama, I got to tell you something. And you start crying. You say, how did this ever happen? And the preacher preached that message years ago and said that about dressing godly, to where it professes godliness, to where it doesn't make somebody lust, or don't trip up your brother. If you know he has a problem with something, don't do it. Don't provoke one another to wrath. When he preaches a message, don't get mad at what he's preaching, but get right with what he's preaching. But our flesh, when we feed our flesh, we get to the spot where we forget that we are a child of God in this world. This world's not our home. We're just a passing through. My pastor is my best friend. The preachers in the church are my best friends, and they're looking out for the best of me. And they mess up. They make mistakes. They fall. They say the wrong thing. They do the wrong thing. Absolutely. But unless it's doctrinal, you stick with them, you lift them up, and you praise them. You don't worship them. I'm saying you lift them up, and you say, man, that's the best pastor in the world. You tell your kids, hey, that's the best message that I've heard in a long time. Wasn't the pastor wonderful this morning? What did your Sunday school teacher teach? Wasn't it a wonderful lesson? Lift them up. We get to our flesh and we feed our flesh, and our flesh says, man, that was the worst message ever. He preached on tithing. He preached on dress. He preached on attitudes. He preached on all these things. All he's trying to do is preach the word of God and help us to understand that God has bigger and better for us. When the preacher preaches across the pulpit and he says, hey, don't let your kids do this. Don't let your kids do that. Don't go to those places anymore. You know why the preacher preaches and says, don't go to the bar anymore? Because there ain't nothing in there but a wrecked life. A ruined life. I know somebody divorced, second marriage, met her husband at a bar. He beat her black and blue every day. Divorced him, married another. Met him at a bar also. Drank his life away. Toward the end of his life, his body was dying because of the alcohol poisoning. His body was shutting down. She said, I don't understand how this happened. I said, you met him at a bar. You met him at a bar. Preacher says, don't go. The Word of God says, don't go back to the places that you used to go. They watch for your souls. But our flesh says, don't you tell me how to live. I'm my own man. I'm a full grown man. I'm in a place in my life that I have all my ducks in a row. Don't you tell me how to live. And then we end up in a mess where our kids are having children out of wedlock, or we don't teach them the right way on how to look for a spouse. I told all my girls, I have three girls, and I told them, you don't have to marry a preacher, but you have to marry somebody that loves God. That's what I want. They don't have to be a preacher, but they have to love God. If that's not in them, you better wait. If you think that's the one, you better wait until it's there. Or you find somebody else, because that road is going to be long, hard, and rough. But our flesh will tell us, hey, don't tell me how to raise my kids. Don't tell me how to dress. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me what to say. Don't tell me what music to listen to. Don't tell me anything. Just preach good, ear-tickling messages. And God is love. We can preach that God is love. We can preach that God will fix the situation, and He can. But we reap what we sow also. So if we sow a field of trouble and strife, and then we get saved, or then we get right where we ought to be again, that seed's still going to spring. That seed's still coming up. So the best thing to do is never sow that seed in the first place. The easiest way for that is to not walk in the flesh. Look in chapter number 8. Well, look in chapter 7 again, verse number 24. Okay, we have this warring member in ourselves. We have the law, we have our flesh, and we have, if he's talking to brethren, verse number 1, we have the law, and we have the flesh, and we have the spiritual man in us after being saved. Verse number 24 says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. See, my mind, just like Paul said, the things that I want to do, I end up not doing. The things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. So there's a law in his members, but there's also a law in his mind that we're fighting against each other. But look in chapter number 8, verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Okay, I'm saved, preacher, so there's no condemnation, right? Read the rest of the verse. That's true, but read the rest of the verse with me. Who walk not after the what? Flesh, but after the Spirit. If you are a saved child of God and you walk after the flesh, there's going to be bloodshed behind the woodshed, if you know what I mean. You will get judged. You will answer for the things that you're doing in this life. Now, it rains on the just and unjust. And as a pastor preached the other night, how God talked about Job, and he said, I mean, God offered him up. The devil wasn't walking by and looked at Job and said, hey, I bet he'd be fun to pick on. God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? Now, there was no other man like Job right then. Job was a just man. He was a good man. You read Job, he prayed for his kids. They all prayed together. And he said, I'm going to pray for them just in case they didn't. I mean, Job was a good man. Job was a godly man. And God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? So sometimes in our lives, we go through things and we're walking right. We're talking right. We're praying right. We're reading right. We're right where we ought to be. And things go wrong. That happens, absolutely. But here he said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You walk after the flesh, trouble's coming. You walk after the flesh, trouble is coming. But if you walk after the Spirit, there's therefore now no condemnation. How can you get a spanking if you haven't done anything wrong? Amen? I mean, my girls, they probably need a spanking every now and then. Probably more than I do. I haven't spanked them in a long time. They're getting bigger than me now. But before, I would give them a spanking if they needed it. And I'd take them out and get the 2x4 with the spikes on the end of it and take care of business. And they haven't sinned. They haven't got in trouble after that. And, it's been a long time. But when they're in trouble, they get spankings, children in general. Maybe not anymore. It's working well, ain't it? Anyhow, when we get in trouble, when we do wrong, the Bible says that God chastens whom He loveth. And if you're without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons? That's not a bad word. That means you're fatherless. You're walking after the flesh. God's going to judge you. He's going to judge you. And Christians, this world is not our home. It's not. It's not our home. You let your child dye their hair pink and think that it's no big deal? It's a big deal. Now, I don't know if anybody's hair is dyed pink. I ain't talked to the pastor about nothing, I promise. I heard somebody say, I wasn't preaching that funeral, was I? I don't think I was. I might have been. But I was talking to some church folk, and somebody came in with pink hair, and the father said, and it wasn't his child, but he said, if my daughter comes in like that, it's going to be trouble. And mama said, no, no big deal. I don't sweat the small stuff. It starts with small stuff and turns into big stuff. It starts with small sin in our lives and turns into big sin. It starts small walking after the flesh, just one little inch that way. And then pretty soon the fear of what might happen when it doesn't happen just right then that fear is kind of goes away. When I was a drunk by the time I was 16 years old, and my dad didn't mean any harm by what he had done, but my dad gave me my first beer in St. Clair, right? My grandpa had a farm off of Gratiot, and he had a two-track driveway over to his farmhouse, and we'd go there, and we'd put rocks in the two-track to where it wouldn't get too muddy. And at the end of the day, at the end of all the work, my dad said, good job, son, good job. And he gave me a beer, cracked it open, gave me a beer. My dad never thought that would about kill me, literally. It was just one beer on a hot day, and his son worked a good job. And he gave me that beer. And before, I seen my dad drink, and I seen my family drink. I seen my stepdad beat my mom. I seen all kinds of things in my life by that time. And I was always afraid of alcohol. But when my dad gave it to me, it was easy. And once I tasted it, it was even easier. By the time I was 16, it would take me, and I'm not glorifying this, I'm telling you, it starts with one little thing and grows. By the time I was 16, it took me 48 cans of beer to get drunk. You say, what I'm doing doesn't matter, preacher. It's just little. Pretty soon that little sin will turn into big sin. And that even the little sin God isn't pleased with. And I don't say all this I really don't say it to act and to make you feel bad about yourself. Because God knows who we are. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were in our sin. While we were doing what he came to save us from. While we were there, he died for us. You're a saved. You're a sinner saved by grace. Don't keep acting like a sinner. You've heard it 1,000 times that he gave himself for you, so give yourself back to him. That's really how we ought to look at ourselves in this world. I remember down in Georgia, I used to go to church. I just got saved, just moved down there from here, and I was in trouble up here, and I ran as quick as I can to get out of trouble, and my friend was going to a church, and a co-worker invited him to. And through that, he got saved, his wife got saved, and I ended up getting saved. And after I got saved, my pastor, I'd still wear my shirt untucked and just all kinds of shirts, and not really bad, just I didn't look like a child of the king, right? And that doesn't mean you have to wear a suit and tie. Just the best that you have. If the best that you have is a pants with holes in the knees, then wear it. But my pastor knew I could do better. And he said, Brother Phil, you know the Bible says that we're ambassadors for Christ. And at first it didn't make any sense. Like, what is he trying to tell me? But there's things that we can do in our lives that are just little that'll help us to get closer to him. What's working on the inside shows up on the outside. That's why people say, well, don't judge. You can't judge. But the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, you can tell a tree by the fruit it bears. Right? So we can look at ourselves, and sometimes it takes a while to see ourselves. It's not hard for me to look at somebody else and say, man, that guy, I tell you what, Or this sister over here, I tell you. Boy, she is just more spiritual. We are on our way here tonight. And I said, Mama. So I called my wife. I said, Mama. I said, you know, if I didn't shave my head, I'd be almost bald. My hairline would be back to here. I try not looking at that stuff. You know, the crow's feet on the side of your eyes. You don't look at it because you don't want to see it. And I looked at it in the mirror tonight and I said, goodness, man. I noticed that my hairline is going further and further back. I guess it'll save me on razors here in a little bit, but I'd rather have hair, but I didn't want to come to that realization. But when I looked real close, I could see something that wasn't like it used to be or how I wish it was. So as a Christian, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves and see, am I walking in the flesh or am I walking in the Spirit? If I'm walking in the flesh, I might as well get ready for the storm. I might as well get ready for trouble. It's coming. But if I'm walking in the Spirit, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Why would we want anything else? Why would we want anything else? I'll say this. I got like 20 seconds. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and they're good people. And he was a young Christian. They're both young Christians, pretty much. He grew up in a rock band, had hair down to the small of his back, can play a guitar, I promise you, like Eddie Van Halen. He is awesome, wonderful on a guitar. And he got to a point in his life, and they were going to church, and the pastor had him up in the sound booth, something that he liked, and he got to a point, he said, I don't think we ought to listen to this music anymore. They still listen to the rock and roll, and it's been in his life for years and years and years. And she said, what, are we going to stop now? We're going to stop now? My answer to that is this. Yes. Stop now. Stop now. Amen, preacher.